Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. We're standing by waiting to hear from President Biden after today's attack outside the airport in Kabul. We're being told now it could be coming around 4:45. There was a briefing earlier from the Pentagon. CENTCOM Commander General Kenneth McKenzie briefed reporters on the attack. He says that the attack took place at one of the U.S. physical screening checkpoints at the airport. He says the evacuation missions will go on.
This is close-up work. The breath of the person you are searching is upon you. While we have overwatch in place, we still have to touch the clothes of the person that's coming in. I think you all can appreciate the courage and the dedication that is necessary to do this job and to do it time after time. Please remember that we have screened over 104,000 people.
On the phone line with us now is Illinois Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger, an Afghan war vet. And Congressman, welcome back to the show. I'm sorry it's under these circumstances.
Yeah, thanks. It's a terrible day, and you know, we honor the sacrifice of our 12 military members and hope that number doesn't go up.
You and I have been talking about this situation over the past few weeks, and you had warned that something like this could happen. What was your reaction when you heard that it indeed did?
Well, when we saw the disaster in Kabul unfold, you know, I think where I was so confused is why we didn't set a perimeter around Kabul to keep the Taliban out until we were out. Of course, we had talked about, you know, vacating Bagram Air Base overnight without even telling the Afghan National Army. And then we end up in this really untenuous situation where we're supposedly relying on the Taliban, our sworn enemy, who, by the way, is no better off than they were when we fought them in 2001. I think now is the moment where, you know, the president has a decision to make. Look, whenever you make a decision that you think is easy, like, quote unquote, ending the endless wars, as we've heard so many on both sides of the aisle talk about, it leads to moments like this and even worse choices. He has a bottom line to decide. Is he going to stay and evacuate everybody that needs evacuated, or is he going to leave and basically see utter retribution? I hope he says we're going to stay and get this job done. I hope he makes it clear to the Taliban and to our enemies that we have the force capable to destroy them if necessary, because I think there's going to be a lot of information that comes out. You know, look, Taliban and ISIS, though they may have a combative relationship, they also do work together on some things. And, you know, to find out that this suicide bomber went through Taliban lines, Taliban checkpoint, to approach United States Marines leaves a lot of questions. And I think it's clear that we need to be looking at the Taliban as, you know, the enemy, well, even though we may not seek to fight him at the moment.
We're talking to Congressman Adam Kinzinger. Expound on that, because if it's true that this was carried out by this ISIS-K group, which is a sworn enemy of the Taliban, why would it be in the Taliban's interest to let them go through?
So you keep in mind, it's not as cut and dry as maybe some people make it seem. So while the Taliban may consider ISIS to an extent an enemy, there also are people within the Taliban. It is also not, you know, a unified organization.
Right.
They all share the same goals. The Taliban is a very fervently extreme Muslim, you know, group. But let's think about this. The Taliban look at it this way. If we tell the United States, and you know, look, I tend to think our intelligence could have come from the Taliban that this was happening. It was very specific. I got it a couple days ago. We're going to tell the United States to look good, and we're also going to let ISIS through the checkpoint so we can embarrass the United States. I don't think it is too far out of the realm of possibility that that's the case, because this is very complicated over there.
I was going to ask you about the intelligence, because it was pretty remarkable in this chaotic scene, if we were withdrawing, that we had such specific intelligence, at least enough to allow for such specific warnings yesterday. So it's you're positing that perhaps that came from the Taliban, and then the Taliban still let K through?
I think it's possible, yeah. This isn't any secret stuff I know
sure,
in terms of sourcing. I don't know the source, but I did see a Taliban spokesman on Russian television claim he's the one that, you know, told the United States about this. But I will tell you, 2 days ago, we were briefed in Congress about this threat, and it was the most specific, detailed briefing I had received on an active and pending threat since I've been in Congress. So there's no doubt we had a direct stream from this to that attack. And keep in mind, we obviously see that ISIS-K exists. We obviously see that there's all these jihadist groups still in Afghanistan. When we leave, when we finally are out of Afghanistan, we're going to lose all those threat streams, that data stream. And that's a pretty frightening thought if you think about it.
Congressman Kinzinger, we've evacuated tens of thousands of people. I'm assuming tens of thousands of Afghan citizens. Can you tell me about the promises we make to the interpreters and the others who assist us? And do we give them at the time we make these promises documentation? Is it an informal sort of thing? You know, I'm interested in, I don't know how many more would be coming out, and I don't know if it's something that as a condition of their cooperation years ago, they were given some sort of paperwork. Can you explain for me how concrete those promises are?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been working this really since day one of being in Congress. First, it was mostly on Iraq because we made the same promises. And then it obviously had pivoted to Afghanistan. And so this is under the P1 program. And well, there's P1 and P2. But basically, the bottom line is if somebody works as a translator with U.S. forces, for instance, they get a recommendation from the commander and all this basically documentation that says their service was fantastic.
Congressman, I'm going to have to interrupt you. I'm sorry. It looks as if the president is beginning to speak. I hope you can stay with us for a few minutes, but let's listen in on President Biden.